Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What makes people want more? What makes them hunger and thirst to where we begin to seek after Him with all of our heart? When I first read that scripture, I thought that it was kind of tough and it would take a lot of discipline, and God wanted to develop our discipline and, you know, and to seek Him and to deepen our dedication, and that it was all something on our part that was kind of a heavy responsibility to put our whole heart into seeking God. I didn't understand why He told us it's going to take a wholehearted commitment, because He's not hard to find. He's not hiding. But the problem is there's so many distractions. In a fallen world, in a faulty body, there's so many other things vying for our attentiveness and our energies and our time. He knows if we don't do it wholeheartedly. You know what the Bible said? Some of this precious seed fell on ground that had weeds in it. The weeds had not been plucked out. And it grew. It started to flourish. But the weeds came and overwhelmed it, overcame it, and choked it out. I said, Lord, what is this all about? He said, when anyone hears the word and he receives it, and the deceitfulness of riches. What deceives you about the material world? There's a promise out there that if you get this, you obtain that, receive this, you'll be fulfilled and happy. And some people go after those things at the expense of their souls. And it's a lie. It hasn't made anybody in Hollywood happy. It's made them rich and famous, but not happy. It's not made anybody on Wall Street happy. It didn't make Michael Jackson happy. They asked Elvis Presley, and you can be seated tonight. They asked Elvis Presley 2 weeks before he died. A journalist asked him in an interview, the three things you said you wanted when you begin to make it in the pop music world. Michael Jackson was the king of pop, Elvis the king of rock and roll. We have two kings here that's going to talk to us that came to the apex of their life and achieved things that other people are still groping for and grasping for. And when they asked Elvis Presley, and I said this on one of our radio broadcasts, you said you wanted to be a star in music. You wanted to be rich and famous and happy. Everybody say rich and famous and happy. And the journalist was very candid with him and forthright, because he asked him, he said, you've achieved two of those goals. There's no doubt that you're rich. There's no doubt that you're famous. Are you happy? And he said, I'm lonely as south of heaven. You fill in the blank. That's an amazing thing that the world promises so much and grants so little. Can you say that? And yet other people follow these people and make them idols. Michael Jackson was asked not long before he died, Michael, are you happy? He said, I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied. Well, that's not honesty. How can you be happy if you're not satisfied? Amen. You can't be. It's a virtual impossibility. The world promises so much, but it gives so little. But the Bible does promise us happiness if we serve the Lord and find in Him what we need for the deepest desires of our heart. Living water satisfies the deepest longings of the soul. What Jesus was talking about was a spiritual fulfillment that can only come through Him. And I'm so glad that I found that water. Amen. And I'm so glad that I'm still drinking. We used to sing that song, I'm drinking from the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul is satisfied drinking from the springs of living water. Now, if we keep hearing a reoccurring materialistic message telling us, and listen, let me just level with you. God loves you. He cares about whether what you eat, drink, and where. Your Father knows what you have need of. And He's a good daddy. I like the tag on your Lincoln. Praise God. I was looking at one on the front talking about prayer. Luke 18:1, men were always to pray and not to faint, but went around. They said, look around at the back. Amen, because God blessed him with a nice ride. Amen. I went around and looked at the back of that Lincoln, and it said, I am not spoiled, just blessed. There is a difference, isn't it? Amen, between being spoiled and blessed. And God blesses us with things. He doesn't have a problem with blessing us with things. Amen. He's a good and gracious God, and he's blessed all of us. And one reason he can trust us with things is that's not what our heart is truly after, and he knows it. He knows we wouldn't trade a Lincoln for the living water that he gives and only he gives. Push come to shove, we'd lay down our life rather than give up this living water. So he can trust us with things, amen, and bless us with things in that respect. But the greater of the blessing is the living water that he gives, amen. And we used to sing that song about happiness being directly related to the fulfillment that only Christ can give when we are filled with his Spirit. Praise God. Well, I just said all that. We'll just take a few minutes in God's Word because he wanted extra worship tonight and we want to give it to him. And so we've just taken extra time tonight. Amen. I believe God really, I believe the Lord is just so wonderfully blessed when we give him something from our heart. And when he asks for more, we're going to give him more because we're expecting more from him. And not that he's not doing enough, but we just expect greater things from the Lord tonight. Turn with me to Psalm 105. Let's talk a few minutes about this wonderful covenant relationship that we have with God. There's a term I'm going to use over and over in preaching and teaching called covenant love. If you don't see the Bible as two covenants and see it all in an overarching covenant, you will never understand fully what God wants you to understand tonight. I didn't understand it for years because I didn't see it in covenant terms. I just see God is holy. He can't lie. He makes promises. He keeps the promises because he's holy and can't lie. And there's a truth to that that can be embraced. He is holy. He cannot lie. I said on the radio broadcast, I believe it was this week, because he's pure light. Amen. We have to choose not to lie. Every time you tell the truth, you have to choose not to lie. Because there is some darkness in you and me. Amen. There's flesh in us. We have to choose to do right. We have to make the choice. In fact, we have to crucify the flesh in order to do right. That contrary force. But in God, it's all different. There's no darkness at all, the Bible said. None. That's why that light shines from his presence, because it's pure holiness. Can you say amen? And it's powerful stuff. The Bible said in him there's no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. Hallelujah. You can count on God. You can count on God to keep his word because he is faithful. But there's a deeper reason for him making and keeping promises to his people. And you know what that deeper reason is? Because he's loving you. Wholly and completely, as we read this morning. Amen? Amen. With my whole heart, all of my heart and all of my soul, I love you, Israel. He came into a covenant with Abraham because he wanted to express his character and nature of love. And he picked a people that were not easy to love to demonstrate the strength of his covenant. I did not choose you because you were greater in number. He said on one occasion about the land of Israel is about the size of New Jersey. Amen. It's nothing compared to some of the great nations of the world. And yet everybody wants that little parcel of land. The most controversial, fought over piece of real estate in the world is the little nation of Israel. Amen. God chose a people that were not lovable. He said, I didn't choose you because you're more in number. And he said, there's another reason that you can't claim that I love you, and that is because you're so humble and obedient. He said, you're a stubborn and stiff-necked people. Everybody say stubborn and stiff-necked. So you're not a great people in number. You're not easy to love. You have nothing to warrant or merit any of this, and yet I'm going to show you the strength of a covenant. Love. I'm going to set my love upon you. I didn't love you because you were more in number or so humble and obedient, but I set my love upon you that I might keep my covenant with Abraham, your father. I covenanted to love you. So I want you to know it's wonderful to be word people and stand on the veracity of the Word of God, to stand on the integrity of God Himself. His faithfulness is so wonderful. But this is more than that. God made promises because He committed His heart to love. And He keeps promises for the same reason. He set His love. We're not like that. We're just not like that. We have a real problem loving people that don't love us back. Can you say amen? We always have some underlying ulterior stuff going on. He said, if you want to get this thing pure, He said, if you want to have a dinner, don't just invite them that can bless you back. Invite them that you, if you really want to show love, invite them that you know can't do a thing in the world for you. If you bless them that bless you, He said, what have you done? What's so special about that? So simple to do that. But when you bless them that can't bless you back and are not going to bless you back, He said, now that's special. Can you say amen? All of this is in that overarching revelation of a God who says, I want to do more than just keep promises as a legal contract. I'm coming into a love covenant. And that's why you see Israel spoken of as a wife. That's a covenant term. Did you know being a husband-wife is covenant stuff? I know it's legal contracts more now in our culture, but originally this was supposed to be a sacred covenant. It was supposed to be so sacred that we never even dreamed or thought of breaking it. Amen. Amen. A sacred covenant. Say it with me, a sacred covenant. And in those days it was considered by God's people to be a sacred covenant. And that's why God could use husbands and wives. He could talk of Israel as His wife. And He could talk of Himself as a husband to Israel because the relationship was covenant. Everybody say covenant. And He often spoke. And that's why even in the New Testament, He says when we go after the world as New Testament believers, what does He call us? What does James call us? It's something that comes out of that covenant relationship. We're breaking a covenant relationship that God looks at as a covenant. You adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you understand that friendship with the world is enmity? But why did He call us? He didn't just call us compromisers. He didn't just call us people who are giving in to temptation or getting cold. He called us adulterers. Why? Because this is covenant stuff. Amen? Hephzibah is what Israel was called when they were in rebellion against God. And it meant they were cast away. They literally, as if a husband walked away, really, they walked away from him. And by virtue of walking away from him, they came out from under his covering and became vulnerable to their enemies. By the way, when God covered them, nobody could touch them. Can you say amen? Nobody could touch. It wasn't about numbers. It was just about God defending His people. Amen? He said, but when I restore you, your name's going to change. It's not going to be Hephzibah anymore. It's going to be Beulah. It's going to be Beulah. And Beulah means married. Everybody say that's all about covenant. Married in the Hebrew term. Married is the Hebrew word. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be loved by a God who wants to love me so strongly that He's willing to make a covenant and say, I'm committing my heart to you. I'm committing myself to you. I don't have to storm heaven to get His attention or His affection. And I don't have to be perfect to get His affection. Everybody say, I don't have to be perfect to have His affection. You know what helps me walk in holiness before Him? Knowing that He loves me unconditionally. It makes me have a want to in my heart. And it's a lot easier to achieve holiness with a want to than a have to. Amen? Amen? Anybody tried to serve Him in holiness because of a have to? You didn't pull it off because He never had your heart. But if a man loved me, what happens? What happens when the want to gets in there and the will to gets in there and the devotion and determination comes because of the passion in our heart for Jesus Christ? It's not a job anymore. It's a joy to serve Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If a man loved me, he will sing a sentimental song on Sunday morning and go his way. No. If a man loved me, He will keep my commandments. And how will he keep them? And they won't be grievous to him. He won't look like he's been baptized in pickle juice. Can you say amen? Amen? He just won't look that way, sir. Have you ever seen the Puritans? I love the Puritans' morals, but I hate their pictures. You ever seen pictures of the Puritans? They all look like they have been sucking on persimmons. They look sour. Remind me of the story of the man walking down the road back when, you probably don't remember, but I do. My uncle was, he was a hard drinking man, and he drank silver bar ale. And silver bar beer, ale is a little more alcohol content than beer. And it was in deposit bottles. You bought the bottle, the 6-pack, the 8-pack, 12-pack. You paid deposit on the bottle. You could turn them back in and get your deposit back. So in that era, when you had deposits on beer bottles and pop bottles, there's a man walking down the street, you know, he's looking for some way of getting some money, and he's a homeless guy, and he's walking down the street, and he sees a woman out about this time of year up north raking the leaves that are coming out of the trees, and she's out, and she's a Christian lady, and she looks the part, amen, because most people associated that brand of Christianity with that long face, you know, long dresses, long sleeves. And long faces. You know, everything was coordinated. We matched very well. And he walks by as she's raking, and he says, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you, but do you have any old beer bottles that I could have?" And she scowled back at him and said, "Do I look like a woman who would drink beer?" And he said, "Oh, excuse me, ma'am, do you have any old pickle bottles?" No, I take it back. It wasn't pickle bottles, because he said, "Do you have any old vinegar bottles?" Everybody say vinegar bottles. Almost told it wrong. We shouldn't look like we've been baptized in vinegar. We should be the most joyous people on the planet. I talk about serious things and smile sometimes. The Lord is still my delight tonight. I want you to know that. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Can you say amen? Say it with me. Delight yourself in the Lord. And the Bible said, if you're really serious about seeking him, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Enter his gates with gratitude, with thanksgiving. Enter his courts by using your tongue to praise him. Can you say amen? Enter his gates with thanksgiving. If you're serious about seeking God, you've got to get your praise on. Amen. Can you say amen? Get that old, poor old me, I'm a Christian minority in a world full of atheists and crazy people. You've got a God that is with you, that said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." When he said that, he was talking in covenant language. He said, "I have committed myself to you, and I've committed my heart to you, and committed my help to you." You're not praying to a God that is aloof in his heaven, but a God that said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you to myself." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. "I won't ever leave you, and I will never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way." That's covenant language. It's covenant love. Hallelujah. It's revolutionizing my prayer life. It's causing my faith to stretch. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I'm not trying in prayer to overcome God's reluctance. I'm laying hold of his willingness. You didn't hear me. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. Can you say amen? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. By the way, when you delight yourself in the Lord, all out goes those selfish desires, those self-exalting desires, self-serving desires. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said this morning, in my selfish desire, I would love to see the glory just come in the room. I would love to see the smoke that they saw, that the priest couldn't minister by reason of the glory. I would love to see this room filled with the glory of God. Amen. I heard, what is the church on the way in Van Nuys, California? What is that guy's name? Jack Hayford. He said when he went there, the church had never run much over 100 in the history of the church for many, many years. He said they didn't have a big program to reach people. They didn't have some big something going on. And yet about in the course of a week through all the various ministries of the church, about 20,000 people are influenced. The building don't hold that many, but that many people are influenced by that single ministry in Van Nuys, California. Pat Boone went there about $1 million in debt and depressed. And Lulu Roman went there and got restored spiritually. And there's just a host of people that have been touched through that ministry. And Jack said, all we did, we had two things that we put the emphasis on. Right now we've got about 20, 30, 40, 50 things we're trying to hold people's attention with at churches. Can you say amen? He said, we were concentrating on two things, worship and the word. Say it with me, worship and the word. Worship and the word. And he said, during the winter, after studying in my office, I decided to go down and make sure the furnace was lit and working correctly so that there would take the chill off the air in for the morning service. And he said, I went down into the basement, down the steps to check the furnace. And he said, as I descended down into the basement, I saw smoke looked like filling the room. And at first, my first thought was what anyone would think, fire. And he said, but there was no smell of smoke. And he said, as I descended further to investigate, I felt this intense presence of God. And then I realized His glory. His glory. And of course, he stayed and rejoiced. He said it struck me so profoundly. I didn't even run home and tell my wife. It was something so holy, so precious, so sacred. I kept it to myself. But he said, this Sunday, the next Sunday, people came that we had not solicited, visited, sent cards, had some kind of, people just begin to show up. And people begin to not only show up, but they begin to come down and give their lives to Christ and dedicate their life to the Lord. And backsliders came back and sinners got saved and people experienced restoration. And he said, I have preachers come to me all the time because everybody's kind of got a faith formula to give out to everybody. If you do what I did, you can have what I have. And he said, you know, I couldn't do that. God showed up. I can't take credit for that. He said, for me to take credit for that would be like Moses, who God said, what do you have in your hand? And he said, I got this stick. I got a rod. Amen. It would be like Moses saying, I wave a mean rod. And if you hold it like this, you got to do it like this. If you take it and really put your faith in your right arm and say, like that. Oh, you can't do it like this or this or just like that. You got to do it like that. He said, it'd be like Moses saying, boy, I wave a mean rod. No. He said, what have you got in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, stretch it out. God. God did it. God did it. God did it. Oh, how I love preachers to give God the credit. You didn't hear me. I said, oh, how I love preaching that gives God the credit and therefore God the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All we need here is God's glory to rest on this place. And if we keep putting the emphasis on worship and the word, it's not that it's such a formula. It's just the way that God responds. God inhabits the praises of His people, and He watches over His word to perform it. Say, God inhabits the praises of His people, and He watches over His word to perform it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that term, watches over His word to perform it, is a covenant term. He makes covenant promises, and then He backs up those promises with His commitment to keep His covenant. Amen. And all that He did for Israel is traceable back to a covenant with Abraham. Every time anybody called on Him by faith, He kept a covenant promise in answering their prayer and delivering them nationally and personally. Let me read this to you quickly before we close. Psalm 105, So much to this, we won't cover much of it tonight, but part of it. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name and make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. And talk ye of all His wondrous works. Can you say amen? You wonder why we took an elongated praise service tonight? Because that's we're doing exactly what it says right here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Amen. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. Amen. Let the heart of them what? If you've got an attitude that you have to afflict yourself to seek God, that's how the false prophets sought their false gods. That's how the prophets of Baal sought Him. They cut themselves to try to get their false God, who is no God, to move and prove Himself. They literally lacerated their flesh. They were standing there bleeding and with no answer. Amen. Don't ever think God wants you to get in that kind of attitude. I've heard it presented that way, but did I read from this book? Is this His book? Is this His word? Let the heart of them what? That seek the Lord. Rejoice. David said it. I was glad. My heart leapt for joy when they said, let's go up to God's house. Can you say, man? I was anticipating something wonderful. Praise God. How many know if we seek Him, we're going to find Him? So we ought to go ahead and have a joyous heart about that. Hallelujah. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen to it carefully. I don't want to get off too far into a tangent. Seek the Lord, verse 4, and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Now, we're going to come into this because we are spiritually the seed of Abraham. The New Testament's very, very clear about that. We're the household of the faith. We're the seed of Abraham. The blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon us. Can you say amen? So listen, now, all of these blessings to ancient Israel is based on a covenant with Abraham. Listen to this. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered His covenant forever. And the word which He commanded, and I'll add here, as a result of that covenant, to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? 4,000 years ago, He cut a covenant with Abraham. There has not been 1,000 generations since then. We're covered. Somebody, even if there was, this is just a figure of speech. It's like the 70 times 7. I mean, some of us have been counting. How many times did I forgive that old scutter? See, 452. 7 times 70 times 7? Yeah, yeah. Boy, I can't wait till I get to 490. Huh? I'm going to jack his jaw right after 490. Can you say amen? No, He used that as a term for infinity and beyond. Said there's no limit to forgiveness. When He said to 1,000 generations, if there was 10,000 generations on this earth before Jesus comes, He said, if you come into this bloodline, you come into this covenant, amen, it's still running. The New Testament is a new covenant, amen. It's based on better promises, but it doesn't disannul, amen, and blow away the old. I'm not talking about the covenant of the law. I'm talking about not Moses' covenant. I'm talking about the covenant with Abraham. Not even the Davidic covenant. It's the covenant He cut with Abraham. Rejoice, you seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Everybody say that's us tonight too. We're included. Amen. Glory to God. Why? Why? Because He's the Lord our God, and He has remembered His covenant forever. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham, and His oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Woo! So when the promise is made, it has to go, it has to be related directly, distinctly to the covenant. It has to be rooted and based in the covenant. And the covenant is not a contract. The covenant is a committing of love. The covenant was born in His heart. Hallelujah. We look at the Bible as just a holy book with holy writ, which it is, and God is faithful, and the integrity of God is on the line, and we stand upon the Word. There is no place or space for intimacy. There is no place to receive or reciprocate love. We can give obedience. We can stand on the Word. We can express faith. But there's no place for fellowship. But in a covenant, it's all different. It begins with love. It ends with love. And it's packed in between with love. Amen. He said, I set my love upon you. I set my love upon you. If I answer prayer, it's because I love you. Not just because I'm holy and faithful, but because I love you. Can you say amen? If I keep a promise, it's because I love you. In fact, if I make a promise, it's because I love you. Amen. Can you say amen? And what does that do when everything that we see coming from God is coming from His heart of love and devotion to us as His covenant people? What does it do? We love Him because He first loved us. It stimulates our love for Him. Then it's not a job to serve Him. It's a joy to serve Him. It's not a chore to go to church. It's a chance to express our love corporately and collectively to Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Receiving an offering is not like a dentist pulling teeth. Remember that dentist, I yank him? Isidore yank him? I yank him. Sit on his door, I yank him. Saw a cartoon in one of the magazines, one of the major magazines, Entertainment Weekly or something, or some magazine like that. And you open up to the cartoon, it shows a dentist, and there's a waiting room out here, and the people in the waiting room are saying, look like they're impatient, and the nurse says, he'll be with you in a moment. He's doing his paperwork. He's doing some paperwork, and then it shows the scene inside the dentist's office, and he has someone's wallet out, and he's got the same thing. He pulls teeth, pulling the money out of the wallet. I've seen offerings try to be received that way. I've heard it, you know, if you don't give to God, He's going to get His. That car of yours is going to break. That you're going to, you know, just trying to get people afraid that God is going to nail them if they don't give. And He says He don't even want it that way. He said He don't want it that way. He said, don't give grudgingly. You know, to stay in the club, I've got to pay my dues. If I don't pay my dues, they'll kick me out of the club. I really hate paying these dues, but I really love being in the club. So I'm going to pay my dues to stay in the club. God says, I don't want it that way. I don't want it that way. If any man give, don't let him do it out of necessity, nor grudgingly, but cheerfully. You know what the Greek word is? Delight thyself in the Lord. Listen, the Greek word is hilaru. Everybody say hilaru. You know what we get from that? Our word, hilarious. Can you say amen? God said, I want it to be a joy. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek me. If any man give, don't look like it's that God is pulling your teeth. Can you say amen? Do it with joy. What really impresses God and the world, amen, is when they see Christians serving God with joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Serving God with excitement and enthusiasm. Loving Him because He first loved us. That's why covenants are cut. That's why God set the whole thing up with a covenant. Because He wanted it to bring to us the intimacy and the love of His heart. He said, I don't want you to see an answer to prayer as me obligating myself to do what I said in my word. I'm not doing it just because I'm holy and I'm obligated to my word. I'm doing it because I really love you and care about you so deeply. Isn't that a different way to receive? That's why so many people that, you know, I'm going to stand on the word. And we're really chiding and criticizing Peter. And I don't believe that Jesus expected Peter to believe the word so strongly that he could walk on the water without Jesus' help and mercy and grace. I don't see it that way. I've heard it preached that way, but I've never seen a preacher live it out like that. Amen. Same preacher that said Peter got his eyes off the Lord, he should have stood on the word, he wouldn't have sunk. Amen. When the funds don't come in, start talking like there's such a crisis. Amen. They're sinking. The storm is great. They're sinking. Amen. Remember that story? I was intrigued by that story as we worked to a close. I was so intrigued by that story because Simon Peter says, Lord, you know, he says, I'm going to a mountain to pray. Y'all go and take the boat, go to the other side. They get in the boat, they head for the other side, and a storm hits them. Isn't it amazing that every time they got in the water to go anywhere for God, a storm hit them? Did you know what Paul said? Among all the things that hit him, he said, I was shipwrecked 3 times. And there's one recording in the book of Acts chapter 27. There was 2 shipwrecks. It's not recorded in the Bible. But he said, 3 occasions I was shipwrecked. One of the times, he said, I was in the deep for a day and a night. It took a day and a night for me to be rescued. Wow. Here they are. One time Jesus is in the ship. The storm hits. This time he went to a mountain to pray, told them to go to the other side. And they're on their way to the other side. And guess what? What a coinkadink. You're in the will of God, right? That's Popeye talk. You probably don't remember Popeye. Amen. But listen, amen. Listen. It's so important. They're going on a mission for God. It's supposed to be smooth sailing. And what do they hit? A storm that threatens to sink the ship. Boy, that's one way to know you're in the will of God. If it's really the will of God, it's worth Satan's attention to come against. He fights what he fears, and he fears anybody that's in the will of God tonight. Hallelujah. Don't misinterpret trouble as not being in the will of God. In fact, if you're in the will of God, I guarantee you trouble. And if you live godly, I guarantee you what the Bible guarantees you. Persecution's coming. The devil's going to find a way to get at you. Because if he don't get your joy and your enthusiasm and your excitement, you are going to affect and infect other people for Jesus Christ. And he well knows it. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me carefully. Peter looks out and he says he thought he saw a ghost because they were not used to seeing people in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea, walking on the water. That was not something that was commonplace. How many know that? The first thing is that is an apparition. That is a ghost. Or as my meemaw used to say from the hills of Kentucky, a haint. It's a haint. Yeah, a haint. That's right. Yeah, you're right. Amen. They thought it was an apparition. Some appearance of some spirit, spiritual something or another. But as they looked closer, it didn't look like anything ghostly or ghastly. In fact, it looked like a man that they knew personally. And as they looked a little closer, they can't believe their eyes, but they can't deny what they're seeing. And they said, it looks just like Jesus. Storm is so rocking this boat, and the sea is, the wind is blowing, and Jesus is calmly, serenely walking the water. And the Bible said, and he would have passed them by. Amen. Except Peter just can't take it anymore. He says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. And Jesus, of course, says, come. And Jesus and Peter, of course, like he always does, amen, he's impetuous. You know, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I never knew him. I swear I never knew him. What does Peter do? He leaps out of the boat. And before he even realizes what he's doing, he's walking the water. And he's going to Jesus. But the wind's picked up. What a coinkadink. You stand on the word of God, what happens? You set yourself to pray more, what happens? You set yourself to love more, somebody's going to Somebody's going to do everything they can to bring anger out of you. Can you say, man, I'm serious. You get out on the Word of God, it gets worse before it gets better, church. Amen. So he gets out, and it said, when he looked and saw not just the storm that was, but a storm that had intensified. He said he saw that the wind and the waves was exceedingly strong. I mean, it really whipped up then. And I know he took his eyes off Jesus. And I know he got his mind off the word, come. But he began to sink. Amen. Down he went. Now this is my personal take on this. But I'm saying this because I've read the whole Bible, not just portions of it. And I've seen the great ones stand and declare that you can just stand on the word to that degree without Jesus sustaining you. I do not believe God intended you to stand on that word without Jesus sustaining you. I believe it's by grace you're saved. I believe His grace is sufficient. I believe without grace you're going to sink no matter how much faith you think you've got. Amen. 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 The Bible said when they hit trials, they didn't get more faith. You know what they got for the trials they were hitting? He said, He giveth more grace. His strength is perfected how? When you stand on the word and can show forth that you can operate independent from Him just standing on the word. No, His strength is perfected in weakness. And when I'm weak, not when I'm standing out here without the aid of God or of Jesus, when I'm standing on the word and this force within me called faith is sustaining. No, it's not a force sustaining you, it's a man sustaining you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Oh, not a method, but a man. A man! Paul didn't talk about his faith, but he talked about a man. Hallelujah. Don't look at us as we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves. We haven't grown to some faith level where we can take care of everything ourselves. Our sufficiency, he talked about a man. Talked about a woman at the well said, look what my faith is. Come and see. A man. Amen. When they preached to those that hadn't heard of him, said, be it known unto thee that through this man is preached unto you remission of sins. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is a gospel about a man. Hallelujah. 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 I'm so tired of hearing about somebody's faith. I want to hear about the man. Now unto him who is able. We're talking about this man. To keep me from falling and to present me faultless. Now unto him looking unto Jesus, the man. Say the man. Glory to God who is the author and the finisher of your faith. If your faith is real, authentic faith, it's faith in a man. Not just any man, but a God man. I don't believe Jesus expected Peter to just get so good at standing on the word that he can just walk out on it. We think we can. We support ministers that come on like strutting roosters talking about their faith. They need to be humble servants talking about their God. Because apart from Him, what can we do? Nothing. Can you say amen? Absolutely. Apart from who? Him. We can do nothing. Hallelujah. Church is built on this man. Sustained by this man. Going to be presented to God faultless by this man. Hallelujah. Through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins. It's a gospel about a man that God sent and God, amen, became God incarnate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it's you, bid me come. Come. But when he saw and realized, it wasn't actually his faith that got him out of the boat. It was his impetuousness. Peter was quick to jump. Amen. And just as quick to sink. And down he went. And you know what he did when he started down? You know what he did? When he started sinking. Anybody ever had that sinking feeling? Yeah, I've had it. Listen, you know what he did? You know what he did? Jesus! Save me! And if you interpret that as some kind of weak, anemic faith, he should have stood on the word. He shouldn't have got his eyes off of Jesus. He should have stood on the word. You're wrong. If his strength is perfected in weakness, God don't want you to be so strong you don't need that hand to pull you and sustain you. He wants you to be so weak you never try it without that hand. You never try to stand on the word without his hand in your hand. Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the sea. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Can you say amen tonight, church? Hallelujah. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You would think if that was such a weak faith, that Jesus would have tormented him a while or chastised him or chided him and said, listen, you should have stood on the word. You should have believed me. You should have took your eyes off of me. He didn't give him some instruction or discipline. Said immediately. That's pretty good faith to get immediate response from God. And immediately, Jesus was right there where he was. And reaching down and taking him by the hand and lifting him up. He and Jesus walked the water, upheld by what? By his hand. That's where God wanted our faith to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They walked back to the safety of the boat, but when that guy got back to the boat, he didn't talk about his great faith, but his great Savior that wouldn't let him sink. Hallelujah. His deliverer that lifted him up. His sustainer. And Paul, who's had so many gifts, amen, but was kept weak enough to stay dependent on God. You know what he said? Don't look at us that we are sufficient as of anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. In other words, we're not just standing on the word. We're trusting in God and his faithfulness to sustain us. Hallelujah. That's the word. Hallelujah. Banty rooster crowing proud preachers talking about their faith and their anointing instead of their God and his grace. And who put them where they are? Who put them in their great grand place of self-sufficiency, feeling so great about their... Listen, cards and letters put them there with money in it. You think God's going to sponsor something that teaches his people to work independent from him through a force called faith instead of a man called Jesus? This is about Jesus. This is about intimacy. This is about love. This is about God interacting, interrelating with his people. This is about being weak enough to qualify for his strength. This is about grace. This is about love. This is about mercy. This is not about someone becoming so self-sufficient spiritually that we don't need to hold tightly to his hand. Amen? I don't want to get out of the boat without him. Remember King David? I'll quit with this. Remember King David? There's a great enemy coming up against him. God gives them the battle plan, says, go up and come around behind them for your attack. David said, sound like a plan. It's a God-given plan. Sounds like a plan to me. He gets his captains of war together. They position themselves behind the enemy. Amen. And there is a man, his chief warrior tells him, listen, his captain tells them. He said, David, you got the plan, man. You got the plan. We got the plan right here. What are you waiting for? Come on, let's get them. This, you know, here's the plan. We got faith in God. Let's go get them. He said, we need something else. You mean you need something else besides the plan and faith in God? You need something else? Yeah, you need him. Amen. Your faith is not going to get you that victory without him. You can't do it without him. David literally said, I'm waiting on him. He said, do you see those mulberry trees over there? He said, yeah. It's a still day. There's not even a breeze blowing. Not one leaf is trembling under a breeze. He said, I got my eye on them mulberry trees. There's no breeze even touching. When you see those trees lay over by a mighty wind, we'll know that God, the object of faith, is not the one who has the faith, but the God who faith is in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We'll know that God has went out before us. We need more than His plan. We need more than faith in Him. We need Him, praise God. Hallelujah. And when that tree lays over, the Spirit of God has went before us, and we'll follow Him into victory. Can you say amen? God will fight this battle with us. Anything less than that is teaching something that is teaching in operating by faith, independence from God. And true faith is absolutely dependent on God. That mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain. If you stand on the word, confess it, paste it on your refrigerator, and play it on a tape when you drive in your car, and you keep saying it until it comes to pass. No, amen, not by might, nor by power, nor by human agency, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Wow. And when God does it by His Spirit, we can't take credit for it. We have to give honor to where honor is due, credit to whom credit is due. Peter could never say, by faith I got out of the boat. And by my confidence in God's word, I stood upon the word and I walked the water just like Jesus. No, I got out of the boat. I got scared. Everybody say scared. I knew how. I thought I was spelling it right till I saw them big pickup trucks in Plant City. It says ain't scared. S-K-E-E-R-E-D. Ain't scared. Amen. Well, he was scared. He had every right to be scared. Can you say, man, he was out there on God's turf. He was out there doing the God thing. We think we can walk with God out there without the sustaining grace to lift us up. We can't do it. We were not designed to do it. Can you say, man, we were designed to walk hand in hand in tandem with God who holds us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the source of real strength. That's the source of authentic faith. And when victories are achieved, God, not our faith, God gets the glory for it. There's Catherine Kuhlman, a journalist, asked her, because there was healing manifestations in her early years, and they asked Catherine Kuhlman, you must, after seeing all these things happen, you must be very confident. And she says, before I walk out on a platform, I die 1,000 deaths. Because I, now see, this is exact opposite of what many teaching is today. She said, because I'm going to declare that God is here to save, heal, and deliver people. And if He doesn't, if I have done anything to where He can't manifest, if He doesn't manifest, I can't make anything happen here. Has to be the Lord. That's refreshing, because people actually are not only telling you how they did it, but they want to teach you how to do it too. But the Bible won't teach you to do that. The Bible will teach you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And whenever things happen, God will get the glory for it. You'll get the victory, but God will get the glory. I said, you'll get the victory, but God will get the glory. Jesus will lift you up. Did Peter walk the water? You bet he did. He didn't continue to sink. He wasn't destroyed. But how did he walk the water? Sustained by Jesus holding him up. Hallelujah. And when he got back to the boat, he didn't talk about his great faith or how well he could stand on the word. He talked about a merciful Savior that lifted him up. Can you say amen? That's how it's supposed to work. When I am weak, what happens? Then am I made strong. Because when I acknowledge I can't in myself, but I can do all things through Christ who what? Here He comes. Here He comes. Everybody say, here He comes. Here He comes. Hallelujah. Through Christ who strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? I can do all things sustained by Jesus. I told you it's about a man. Hallelujah. From cover to cover. There was a fourth man in the fire, wasn't there? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look like the Son of God. Brother, would you come? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three, if you would. Praise God. Are you ready to worship Him and praise Him? Hallelujah. Amen. God hath highly exalted Him. Him. Given Him a name that's above every name that is named. I told you it's about this man. Through this man is preaching. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ, this man, unto them. Amen. Can you say amen? He didn't just go down and preach faith to them. He went down and preached Christ to them. He didn't go down and declare how anointed He was. He pointed to Jesus when He got there. And the Bible said the sick were healed. Demons cried and came out. Can you say amen? Paul, I know, they said, Jesus, I know. They know this man. It's time the church got to know this man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He told me He'd never leave me. And He'd never forsake me. That He would go with me personally all of the way. I'm sustained by faith in Him. Not just by faith as a force, but faith in a person. There's love here. There's intimacy here. There's getting to know God here and His faithfulness. And to God be the glory. Can you say amen for the great things He hath done? When my life is over, whatever good has come from it, amen, I want everyone to say, look what the Lord hath done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because believe me, it has to be the Lord to get her done. Truly. Look what the Lord has done. Will you stand to your feet? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Because the desires of your heart won't be for self-absorbent things. It will be, or for self-exalting either. It will be things that bring honor and glory to Him. And when you pray that way and put your faith out in that, God is going to answer you. God is going to answer me. Brother, would you just let it play? The Lord is my delight tonight. Is that number three? Can you put it on number four? Yeah, just put it on number four just for a minute. This is just to close with it. Just, yeah, you bring that right up. That's fine. I just want to worship Him a moment tonight. I know that you're in a crossfire tonight in Christianity. And it's not just the world.